the United States of America, known as land of the free, home of the brave. America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries. In becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success, this young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than 1 million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over 1 million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the United States. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from the ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s. In response to the earnest and sincere invitation of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwestern United States were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus, she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Ching Hai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Ching Hai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Ching Hai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the United States, from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states, from the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters. All are recipients of Supreme Master Ching Hai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Ching Hai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Ching Hai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace.
We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Ching Hai in San Francisco, California, USA, on November 27, 1993, entitled, Have No Illusion About Enlightenment.
Everybody, please welcome Supreme Master Ching Hai.
Now, the person who will share their experience is Dr. Diana Blaharsky. Diana?
Good evening, Master. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to share with you some of my experiences and some of my spiritual journey. I have followed the Kuan Yin method under the guidance of Supreme Master Ching Hai for 2.5 years. At about the age of 15, I started asking the questions that I think most people ask at some stage of their lives. What is the purpose of this life? What are we here for? Where did we come from? Where do we go to at death? I did not get satisfactory answers from my parents, my older sister, or from traditional religions. And at the age of 36, I was resigned to the fact that I would not know the answers until I died, and I should really stop bothering about it. I felt that I had reached a dead end, even with metaphysics. The last sermon I attended was on the topic of the kingdom of God within you. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And I sat there and I said to myself, yes, but where is it? And how do you contact it? We are told all the time that that is what we must do, but we are not told how to do it. In the meantime, my Vietnamese husband, of both Buddhist and Christian background, had attended church with me, and I asked him what he thought of my church. He said, words to this effect, the minister was quite charismatic, but he was not a living master. That rather startled me, and I turned to him and I said, "You're looking for a living master?" And he said, "Yes." And it was a new thought to me, but at the same time it was not a strange concept. But it was the first time my Western mind had been presented with that concept. A few months later, we were introduced to Supreme Master Ching Hai through tapes and books. And 2 months later, we flew to California and initiated. There is a wise saying that when the student is ready, the master appears. And indeed, we personally experience this. At the time of initiation, I found the kingdom of God within me, and I knew that the beautiful land that I had dreamed of as a child and searched for as an adult really did exist, but it was not here on this earth. Since initiation, I have had both internal experiences of light and sound and external experiences of the tremendous love and magnificence of God, the limitless compassion and the overwhelming wisdom of God. At one point, I was in emotional anguish, and in that pain, I cried out to the heavens, and I said, "All I want to feel is that I am loved." After that shout for love, I despondently went back to my worldly duties. 24 hours later, still in the grip of my unresolved emotional drama, but now angry about it, I started to feel like I was floating in an immense ocean of love. I felt very light, unburdened, and blissfully happy. I have no idea how long this feeling of a tremendous encircling love lasted, but it did seem like hours. My mind, however, was very annoyed that I was feeling so good when I was supposed to be acting the role of the angry, injured party in my emotional drama. So that brought me down to earth. But my request of 24 hours earlier had been granted. My husband, being second in command of my spiritual development after Master and God, at least he thinks so, informed me sternly that if I was more disciplined in my meditation practice and henceforth had more merits in my spiritual bank, my request would have been granted immediately and not 24 hours later. I do believe him to be correct. Funnily enough, too much happiness can be difficult to bear as well. But I believe I would have floated longer in that ocean of bliss if I really had more money in my spiritual bank. Another experience I had occurred on a 4-day retreat in Maoli, Taiwan. Master was talking, and I sat there kind of mesmerized, kind of transfixed by the brilliance of what she was saying and her incredible wisdom. I felt that I had come in direct contact with the almighty power of God that I knew from books but had never actually physically experienced. The intellectual portion of my mind was in an ecstasy of satisfaction at having found the true source of wisdom. I had come face to face with the all-powerful, the all-knowing aspects of a true living spiritual master, and my higher self had recognized it. After initiation, one is really and truly taken care of by the spiritual master, even down to very little details. The Western mind is slow to recognize the daily miracles of life and are quick to blame things on coincidence. But after initiation, we know there is or there are no coincidences. My own experience of this occurred earlier this year when Master toured through USA, and to make a long story short, Master was due in Seattle, and I had procrastinated so long whether to go or not that I did not try to book the flight to Seattle until the day before. Well, I think we all know what that means. It means a very expensive plane ticket of around $1,000 to fly from Houston to Seattle. And I thought, well, that's the end of that. I'm staying in Houston. Meanwhile, my husband, who seems to have a unique ability to achieve things in situations where I cannot, which kind of irritates my ego sometimes, had phoned a travel agent and found a ticket in the mid-$200 range. I thought nothing of this at the time until the ticket was delivered. And the travel agent said to me, she said, you know, this is really very strange. I don't know where this ticket came from. Normally, when you book the day before, the ticket is very expensive, around the $1,000 mark. But when I checked the computer, this ticket came up on the screen. That was not the end of the story. I arrived alone in Seattle, a little nervously, as this was my first visit, and I didn't really know where I was going or what was the schedule of events. I arrived by taxi at the motel where all the disciples were supposed to be staying, and it was deserted. The registration clerk told me the motel was fully booked and there were no rooms available. So what to do? But have no fear. A Vietnamese gentleman suddenly appeared wearing Master's initiation badge, so I approached, explained my situation, and he said, "Come, come quick. No time. Master about to give lecture at hotel." So we drive to the hotel, and on the way he explains how he has been transporting people back and forth all day, and he had thought he had finished his job. His English was very broken, but I understood him to say, Master told him he must return one more time to pick up a lady from the airport. He told me that he had tried to find this lady, but he could not. And I was thinking to myself, oh yes, a poor little old lady lost at the airport. And suddenly the penny dropped, and I understood that Master had sent him to fetch me. My Western mind rejected this at first and said, you are reading too much into this situation. However, at the hotel, I was rapidly whisked up to the front row of the auditorium. A few minutes later, Master arrived and, before mounting the stage, specifically looked down the front row, smiling. My mind was jolted. My God, I thought, as well as other things, she's checking that I'm safely here and at the same time telling me, there you are, I have taken care of you. Well, I think I've talked enough. I just want to end by saying that initiation into the Kuan Yin method by a living spiritual master has brought me to the answers of my original questions to do with life and death and why I am here. And if my brother-in-law ever wants to know the answer to his question of where do geniuses come from, then as Master says, he should get enlightenment. And the answer is very simple. In actual fact, the answer to many, many things is very simple after enlightenment. Thank you.
That's a nice story. You never told me this.
Thank you, Doctor. The next speaker, Mike Tracy, was talking with me prior to this thing starting today, and he has the same problem I have, where it's kind of hard to talk about your experience without crying at certain times. So if you'll kind of bear with us on this, I think you'll make it through this. Michael?
Hello. When I was about 20 years old, I realized how much pain I was in. And my childhood was very difficult, and I suffered a great deal. So at about 20 was when I picked up my first book on Eastern philosophy. I was raised a Catholic. And I became aware right away of the importance of a spiritual master. So for about a year or two, I read as much as I could on the various masters throughout the world. And I was still convinced that of the importance of having a spiritual master to relieve my pain and my suffering. But I'm very stubborn, and I didn't want anyone running my life, telling me what to do, especially a spiritual master, because then I knew I would have to listen. And I don't particularly like authority figures. And so I was very resistant. So for the last 25 years, before I was initiated, which has been 3 years, I studied on my own, and I had read there are exceptions, people that don't need spiritual masters. And I thought, well, hopefully I'll be one of those exceptions. So I read and studied over those 25 years as 1,000 books. The master says people like me are intellectually constipated. And I studied all the New Age philosophies, teachers. I explored many, many things. And sometimes I made progress, but more often I would slide back. During those 25 years, there were times when I lived, you know, fairly saintly existence as far as my life was concerned, but then I would get frustrated and I would slide into drinking, you know, abusing substances. I'm an addictive personality. I would act out in different ways because after a few years, I wouldn't make much progress in my spiritual work. I would go back and forth between a vegetarian diet, and then football season would come and I would get beer, cigarettes, and salami sandwiches, and that would be the end of that for a while. Through those years, I never was able to relate to other people. I was in so much pain, emotional pain from my childhood, that I had a very difficult time loving other people, being with other people. I suffered panic attacks and anxiety attacks whenever I was with any strangers, even two or three strangers in a room up to the day of initiation. I would get a panic attack. That this happened my entire life since I was 5 years old. It was so severe that I would lose all my vitamin B, and I would often be sick then for a week or two. It would take me to recover because the attacks were so severe. But since I've been initiated by Master, I haven't had any anxiety attacks or panic attacks. The other thing is that now in our pop psychology, the 12-step program and Bradshaw and all of the inner child work that's going on, I can relate to that in the sense that I was emotionally blocked or armored from my childhood was so difficult that it was a violent alcoholic home that I armored myself. And I used to take pride. I played sports all my life, and my body was so hard. But actually, I was in so much pain that I just armored myself. And after I was initiated by Master, I started to soften. I could feel myself softening from the inside out. And when that, it took a period of about 6 or 8 months. And when I was initiated, when I was out there and signing the form, several people came up to me and they told me to be patient, that it might take 6 or 8 months for me to improve. And I was patient, and it proved to be true. It took about 6 months for many, many changes to occur in my life. This emotional blockage that I had took about a year. I stayed with the meditation. But the major thing with me was, when I was initiated, is during this period, I have 3 children in their 20s, and I was alienated from them. I never abused my children like I was abused, but I was a strict parent. And I thought you had to be stern with them, and then they would be good, you know. And I was stern. I could not love them. I mean, I could never hug them, kiss them, this kind of thing. I just wasn't capable of it. So I made up for it by being stern with them in what I thought was a loving way. But I became alienated to them. They weren't talking to me. I wouldn't talk to them, actually. I started because I figured they weren't living up to my standards. And after I got initiated, it took a couple months, but I mellowed out, and I approached my children. I made a special trip here from Phoenix, where I was initiated, and my children live here. I grew up here. I was born here, and I got a hold of them, and that week I cried almost every day with my kids because I was apologizing for the way that I had raised them. But I could never have done that, and I do it now. My relationship with my children is so good, and my relationship with my family is so good, and even they say that you can enjoy a sunset and this sort of thing, and I really do experience that. I was so armored, and the minute I would feel in pain, I would run to a six-pack or a joint or something. I have a long way to go. I've been initiated 3 years, but often I am capable of loving other people. Not as much as I'd like, but often I can. And my relationship with my family is excellent. I have master students. I feel like my life has expanded. Not only did I get most of my family back in a good relationship, but I also have many, many friends that are disciples. I feel, one last thing I want to say, the thing that I feared of getting initiation and having a spiritual master run my life, I found not to be true with Master Ching Hai. She's never, there just isn't that authoritarian regimen that many teachers have. She just lets us grow at our own pace, leaves us alone. And I feel that she's not really my spiritual master. I feel that she's really my friend. That's all.
Now we have one more person before we let you have Master, or let her have you. Karen Osborne will speak a few words about an award Master just recently been given. Karen?
I have the Thanksgiving announcements. Master Ching Hai was awarded in Hawaii last month a World Peace Award by the United States government. She's also been given honorary citizenship to the U.S. We felt when she was receiving this award that not only was Master Ching Hai being recognized, but also all the spiritual work she's done was being honored by the U.S. government. When she arrived in San Francisco, Mayor Jordan gave her a commendation. It says, "To Supreme Master Ching Hai, world-renowned humanitarian, in recognition of outstanding public service on behalf of the people of San Francisco, this award and the World Peace Award really are in recognizing not only her humanitarian work with the flood victims and the victims in the Philippines and the fire victims in L.A., but all the work that she's done with us. I also wanted to thank two people that have been very helpful in San Francisco, Judith Conrad and Bonnie Colleen. If they are here, could they stand?
Yes. You can come up, please. Can come up to the stage. So your
please
fans
come
can
up.
See you. She's very famous. I think you know her, huh?
Judith has been very helpful with Master Ching Hai, working with her on the radio and on the television.
I just want to say that Supreme Master Ching Hai, who you are, does make a difference. And that is the theme of my radio and television program. Who you are makes a difference. And it's been a wonderful treat to be with you these last 2-3 days on the radio and television. You've made a difference in the Bay Area.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Karen.
Most of us have many questions. And doesn't matter how many answers we have, we still have more questions. When we were young, we asked our parents many questions. Some are never answered. And when we grow up, we ask our teachers and friends and wise persons many questions too. Some of them were also never answered. I have also had many questions until I got the so-called enlightenment. And in the beginning of the enlightenment, I still had many questions regarding very unimportant issues, which I only know after a long time, with many unanswered questions. For example, when I was at the beginning of my spiritual career, I still keep asking some of the master that I know or the teacher that I met, that, how come you leave your hair so long? Because all the so-called practitioners I knew from my childhood until then are shaven head.
Yes.
Buddhist monks.
Yes.
So I was still feeling hesitating, listening to the teachers that I met with long hair, especially men. But as you know, in India or many countries, the master don't shave their head. Most often they leave their hair very long because they went into the retreat and then the hair just grow, even if they have shaved it. So these are so many questions, some of the very unimportant questions that we ask ourselves, and we try to attach ourselves with it and make trouble for us. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter really. Because sooner or later, all these questions will wear out. As we grow higher into spiritual maturity, we become calmer, calmer, and more placid in our thinking, in our life viewpoint. Is that correct?
Yes.
So people keep sometimes coming to us and asking many questions. And I have tried my best all the time to satisfy them. But still, it is difficult for some people to understand the answers despite both best intentions. It is because we are using our limited understanding faculty to try to grasp something which is beyond that. And I also had many of the questions myself before, therefore I understand very well whomever come to us and ask question. It seems like they never can have enough answer, but this is the way our mind is. We always feel inquisitive because our mind is always inquisitive. That's why it collects a lot of information daily, yes, whether bad or good, because the mind doesn't have the power of discrimination. And most of our misery, dissatisfaction, and prejudices, and many discrimination between ourselves and between the subjects in life come from this inquisitive nature of the mind, who takes in all kind of information and possess it and make it become his own. So we should be careful what we read and what we hear, because if we do not select discriminately every other people's ideas and theology, philosophy, sometimes it's not quite correct, will sink into our mind and become our own. And we think this is us who think this way, who accept this and that and others. And when later some other information comes and is more correct and more helpful to us, and we reject them or we doubt them, because previously we have already recorded some other information, some other theory which is which seems contradictory to the later. And this is one of the problems we encounter in our lives, in this world, where we have the production which gave birth to many of the hatred, of the discrimination, of the conflict between religions, between nations, between neighbors, between people. So whatever we take in, we should first, or at least later, examine whether these theory or these teaching or these ideals have any ground or have any use to our daily life or spiritual progress. Otherwise, we have so much trouble to struggle between ideals, between groups, between different thinking systems. Just like this morning, I was interviewed with the TV program, and the TV producer interviewer asked me to tell people a quick and simple meditation for the people who would not or could not get initiation. And I did just that. And afterward, I told them that if they have any trouble, if they had any trouble, and they can pray to God while meditating. Sometimes you meditate at home and you listen to a teacher, then it's fine. But sometimes you forget what the teacher said, the instruction you forgot. Or you meditate alone with some books or some instruction, and sometimes we run into trouble. So I said to them, in case, because you requested, so I had to give the information. Otherwise, meditation teaching should not be given at random without follow-up and without a good teacher to guide us until we are stable and grown up. That's why a living friend, a living spiritual so-called teacher is necessary. Otherwise, we could learn from books or from any sacred teaching. Most of the sacred teaching, the true sacred teaching, since ancient time, never leave any trace of information about true meditation, except those we call expedient method, convenient way to calm the mind. Therefore, so I told them, after you meditate, or between your meditation, even so short and so simple, if you run into any difficulty, or you have any question, you should pray to God and try to quiet your mind, and then the answer will come, or the help will come, or pray to Jesus or Buddha, whomever the saint that you believe in. Because our teaching is universal. We have no discrimination between belief systems. And then I have to add one more. Say, if after you pray into all the saints and God and it doesn't help, then you should call me to help you. So, but I tell them this sounds very self-glorifying, but because I have to tell everything, and if you don't believe it, you don't use it. But I had to explain to them also, why is it so? Because I'm nearer. The nearer neighbor is better than the far relative. That's all that is. Very simple and logical. But many people think a friend or a teacher say like that is self-glorification. It's not true, right? So I have to explain to them the logical way. Just like a queen or a king, they have guards outside, or they have bodyguards, right? The king or the queen is higher than the guards, but the guards protect them. So I would be the guard. That's all. And I'm nearer because we are in the same magnetic field of the earth. Our energy can be intertwined. It's easier to relate, to oscillate between our energies, because we are near, we are in the same vibratory frequency. Also, and after you have a lot of experiences yourself and have many benefits spiritually and physically, and then you can begin to believe firmly in the teacher or not. So there's nothing that we should take it as faith without consideration and without any proof. Everything we should prove, even spiritually, because it is a science. It is a highest science, but still it is a science. Masters of the past, present, or future are those scientists who knows many things from the universe that we ordinary person probably find it difficult to understand or to believe. But then they will also teach us or guide us into this science, so that later we ourselves also become a master or a teacher, at least to ourselves. Because to be master of ourselves is the most difficult. And to be able to do that, we must have the strongest power, which is the power of God, the universal intelligence, which we have all along.
Thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture on Have No Illusion About Enlightenment. And now please stay tuned for music and poetry on a journey through aesthetic realms, only on Supreme Master Television. May your spirit soar high in heaven's loving embrace.